day, I was teaching scripture at Glenbrook High School, and I didn't want to go because the week before, it was just one of those terrible weeks. It was in high school, and high school students are a pain. I wanted to quit. But this Tuesday, it was on Tuesday, we got there, and there was a relief teacher in the class, and he stayed. And, you know, if you teach scripture, sometimes when a teacher stays, especially in high school, you know, it's a pain in the neck. But this guy was a retired missionary. And so he backed up everything that I stood. And because he was a relief teacher, he's probably more bold than what he normally would be. He would stand up and he would help me. So that was a blessing that I had this 10 years ago, but I reminded myself today. So, are we recording yet, Murray?
We are.
We are. All right, good. Welcome, everybody, to our service. I think the majority of us. Yeah, because I'm loud. So I was teaching in the Philippines for 2 weeks online, and one of the things they said at the end, we love your voice. The first day they said, can you try to be a little quieter? And hopefully many of you are there watching us, because we have a good number here, but many in our congregation is not well. Linda baked all kinds of bickies on Friday, and we delivered bickies to a lot of different people just to kind of cheer them up. Social distancing, you know, drop them off at the door, but it was good. Hey, today, I want to talk about serving the Lord in crazy times. Now, this message was actually something I preached in the Philippines. So I spoke 2 weekends ago, and I had to record it. I could have given you the recorded message, but this was to pastors and retreat.
Was it in Tagalog?
No, it was not. It was in English. It was in English. And when we got the phone call or the text on Monday, I was traveling up to Word of Life and saw the text and started texting Richard and knew he had a lead. And you're a lot better off with Richard leading than me. All righty. Someday you may get me, and you're going to get Southern gospel music. But anyway, so we decided to preach, and I was praying, Lord, what can I share? And my thoughts went to this message, so I reworked it all week, serving God in crazy times. And what a week we've had. And I spent 3 days at Word of Life, got home on Wednesday just in time to eat a peanut butter and jam sandwich and get to Connect Group. It was busy up there. Restrictions have lifted. Do I wear a mask? Do I not wear a mask? Do I got a QR code? All that is happening. COVID hit home, and I was the shopper for and not only the shopper at Bunnings, the grocery, but Bunnings. Dad, can you go get this? Jeremiah wasn't sick at first, so you know he did a lot of building. Schools, COVID hit our schools, and then Ukraine. Word of Life has a ministry in Ukraine, and 65 of the staff, I'm not quite sure where they are. They're heading to the border, and little worried, you know, what the world's going to do. What a week it's been. And I'm sure if your week was anything like mine, it was super busy, full of unplanned opportunities and problems that needed to be solved. In my Bible reading this week, I read two different psalms that they said that God is in control of this world, but each psalm had a different reaction to the truth of God's sovereignty. And Psalm 97, verse 1 says, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the coastlands be glad." God is in control. He reigns. Then Psalm 97, verse 1, "The Lord reigns. Let all people tremble. He sits enthroned in his cherubim. Let the earth quake." I had both these reactions this week. I was excited with the Lord's goodness, but guys, I feared. Most of my family in the States don't know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Now, my theology, kind of we were teasing a little bit, you know, the Lord could, the rapture could happen, or the Lord could come back. Both those things. going to happen someday soon. And isn't the world getting worse? I feared. We have unsaved friends and neighbors all around us, Lord. So I had both these reactions. So what I'm going to be talking about today is how do we serve the Lord? How do we live for the Lord in this busy, confusing, heartbreaking, ever-changing world? And we're going to look at our passage today. We're going to see the need for rest. We're going to see a problem arises. And then we're going to look at how do we balance rest, serving or living for the Lord, and life. Okay, so first of all, we start off with the need for rest. So hopefully you have your Bibles. Not all the verses are going to be on the screen, so we'll be going to Mark chapter 6 a good bit. But Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 32. And the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they have done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolated place and rest for a while. For so many were coming and going, they had no leisure time to eat, and they went away in a boat to a deserted place. And I didn't pray, so I better pray before I go on. Father, we thank you for your word, and we would ask you today that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher as we look into what the word of God has to say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the disciples needed some rest, some relaxation, and some fellowship with Jesus. But why did they need that? Well, Mark chapter 6 tells us that the 12 disciples have just been sent out on their first mission. They went out two by two. And verse 12 says, so they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. They went out saying, you Jews are sinners and you need to have a change of mind. What a message to preach. They were busy with ministry. In Matthew's account of this story, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus tells them that their ministry would not be easy. Wouldn't you like that? You come get a job being a pastor here, but you got a bunch of rat bags in the congregation. You know? Sorry, Daryl. Hopefully you're watching. We're not rat bags, by the way. Mark chapter 10, verse 16. Not always. Mark chapter 10, or Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep amidst the wolves. Be wise as servants and innocent as doves. The world doesn't want to hear our message. The Jewish world didn't want to hear the message of the disciples. The Pharisees definitely didn't want to hear it. It's one thing to be there when Jesus was teaching, repenting, but now you are sent to go out and to preach this message. Another reason for the need. You have in this story in Mark, you had the death of John the Baptist. Some of these apostles were disciples of John the Baptist. You have Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathaniel. They may have been baptized by John the Baptist. And emotionally, you know, the story, the rumor went around that Herod had killed John the Baptist. That's affecting them. And then we see that the disciples were busy on mission. Verse 13, they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Luke chapter 9, verse 6 with this story. And they departed and they went through the villages preaching the gospel and healing everyone. And when they returned, Luke 10:9-10 says, they gave an account to him of all they have done. They were busy on mission. You know, if I were able to heal people and I started going through Muscle Brook preaching repent and then healing people, if we were there at the Cenotaph, traffic would stop. People would flock. They were able to heal people. They put oil on them, and they healed people, and they saw that. Now, I can't heal. If I could, I'd heal my wife, but I can pray. But not only did they heal people, there was a lot of demon activity in those days. They were casting out demons. They were busy on mission. They were super busy on mission, because chapter 6, verse 33b said, the disciples were so busy, for many were coming and going, they had no leisure time even to eat. Now, I understand that a little bit. I was a camp director for 20 years. So the head table always got served first. And it wasn't because we were more important, but because there was a job we had to do. So usually I got my meal first. If the boss was there, he got it first, then I got it second. And I learned how to eat in about 5 minutes, and I still have that problem. So I eat really fast and stare at Linda while she tries to finish, okay? But because I had to get up and engage the students, and sometimes you'd get up and you'd leave part of your meal there, the kitchen crew would come through. Yeah, there it goes. There goes your salad. Usually the salad, it would disappear. They were so busy, they didn't have time to eat. Another reason for the need, Jesus knew his disciples needed a debriefing time. There was a need for rest. Why the need? Well, they needed to sit down with their Savior and have some time with them. We all need time where we stop and breathe. There's a conference that KKC, Ketubah Convention, puts on for pastors and full-time Christian workers. They've done three of them. I've been to all three of them. COVID has hit. And it's just for us, full-time Christian workers. And the first time there was over 2,000 people there. And needed that. Needed that. Went last time with Daryl. We needed that. Where we could just, and they call it oxygen, so you could breathe. Last year, every time I planned my week holiday, something, you know, another outbreak came. And so I went all year without a break, because I'm not going to take holiday if I can't do anything, right? And so finally in November, I needed a break. So Linda and I took a three-day, we called it a spiritual midweek break. We disappeared. We went to Dubbo. We took, because I wanted it to be more than just a break. I needed something. So I took my good friend, Ray Pritchard. We shared him, and we watched the book of Galatians. We took extra time to pray together. And we took, you know, we went to the Dubbo. Well, we didn't go to the Dubbo Zoo. I was saving that one. But we went to the jail, you know, visited there, and to the flying doctor, and saw that. But we just relaxed with that. Holidays, I like calling them holy days. So I did catch up on my holidays, but I call them holy days, where when I go on holiday, I take extra time to be with the Lord. And you know, that's what Sunday is. God designed us to have that little break where we can stop and breathe, take that mini holy day. So Sundays, yes, I usually cut the grass on Sundays. But it's also different. I come to church. That's why church is so important, to where I can come and fellowship with people, and I can breathe. I can find somebody to pray with. I can look for brothers and sisters where you can share your heart with. Sundays, very important. So Jesus says to his disciples, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. We need time to regroup, refocus, rest, and Sunday's a good day to do that. But a problem arises. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 6, verse 33. The time with Jesus is put on hold. Can you imagine the disciples' heart? Yes, us and Jesus. Verse 33 of Mark chapter 6 says, Now when many saw them going and recognized them, they ran there on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So the people, you know, Jesus is in the boat. They must have hugged the shoreline, you know. And Jesus and his disciples are in the boat. The people looked and said, hey, we know where he's going. And they ran and they got there ahead of them. So when they get there, who is there but at least 5,000 men? Now, this is supposed to be R&R, Jesus and the disciples. Now, how many of you have a smartphone here? So when I prepared this message the very first time to preach in the Philippines, so I've done all my studying and now I'm writing my message. WhatsApp went off three times that I had to respond to. Signal is another messenger that we use for Word of Life. It went off. I had five text messages. I hardly get text messages. The text message needed an email. The email meant a phone call. Plus all the other email notifications that come in up. And all of this was while I was studying. And all of it was important. All of it was demanding my time. And we need to be careful. But Jesus sees the people. And when Jesus sees the people, I clicked a little bit too soon. I want to go back one. This is in green. Yellow means it's up there. But when Jesus saw the people, he knew he needed to minister to them. Jesus knew why he was in this desolate place. Jesus knew he was here to be with the disciples, but he also knew the needs of the people. You know, and sometimes the needs of others outstrip the need for our time. Now, you got to be careful with that. But sometimes we have to stop what we're doing for me and minister to others. So, let me see if I got my pages right. Did I just skip one? Where is page? Oh. Alrighty. Almost skipped one. That would have been in trouble. So, the disciples see a problem. Mark chapter 6, verse 35. But when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolated place, and the hour is late. Send them away and go to the surrounding countryside and villages to buy them something to eat." Now, I like to think they had a right heart attitude. They were really worried about these guys being hungry. But I really think they said, "Send them away! Get them out of here!" Now, we do that, right? But they coached it with some good words. But I really think they're upset. This was me time. So Jesus now sees an opportunity to teach the disciples. Right? Verse 37. But he answered, "You give them something to eat." But they said, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread to give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves and fish do you have? Go and see." And they went out and had five loaves and two fish. And I did some calculation, because we know the rest of the story. By the way, I am not teaching the rest of the story. You know that story well. Everything I've done so far is introduction. Okay? So sorry, that's why you're supposed to groan now, all right? It's introduction for the message. But calculation, if there was only the 5,000 men, that means each disciple had to carry bread to 416.66 people. And then there were the ladies, so they had a lot of work to do. So here we are. Here's the message. How do we balance rest, serving the Lord, and life? And when I say serving the Lord, I'm just not talking about Daryl and myself, who's in full-time ministry. I'm just not talking about the Sunday school teachers, the Brook Kid teachers, those who are teaching Scripture. I'm talking about all of us. All of us have been called to serve the Lord. All of us. So how do we balance that? Well, you come to Jesus. Now, what do I mean? Well, obviously, you need to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. For me, that was on the 19th of July, 1975, when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins, and my life was changed forever. But this is what I'm talking about. This is something I'm just learning. You need to learn to meditate on the Word of God. So last year, I started teaching Christian disciplines to my Connect group. But we haven't finished. We're going to get back to that study. But one of the disciplines was meditating. And I realize I am not meditating on the Word of God. I read the Word of God. I memorize the Word of God. But I haven't been meditating on the Word of God. So what I do now, two or three times a week, I got an app that helps me memorize, and I will never completely memorize the verses. I can't quite get it. The Dugan version, now what I have, King James, New American Standard, English Standard Version, and then the words I forget, right? But here's a passage that I dwell on many nights. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30, come to me. That's why I come to Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I often need this verse. And many nights I'll lay in bed, and usually I make my coffee, wake Linda up so she can get ready for bed, and then I'll start reviewing my Bible verses. And many nights I just lay there before I fall asleep, and I dwell on some of these verses, and often this one, because it's been a rough day, been a rough week. And my mind sometimes is thinking about all the problems or the work that needs to be done. And I got to say, Lord, I need rest. I need to rest in you. I am learning. Now, I've been Christian for 47 years. And I'm just learning this within the past 2 years, to meditate on the Word of God. So I'm not an expert on this yet, okay? And one of the other verses I'm memorizing and I try to go to bed on is Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Going to bed saying, I want to seek you continually, Lord. You got to learn to meditate. Well, you got to come to the Word of God. Now, you know I was going to say this. Richard, when he started the new year, he started teaching on the Psalms and talking about how we need to come to the Word of God in Psalm 1. Well, I ask a question. Do you have a theme, word, or passage from God? Do you have something that anchors your soul? Now, I don't know when this word, the Lord led me to it, but my word is trust. And I wish I would have wrote it down the year that I did it. And obviously it was long before I started doing my quiet time online, because ever since then I have most of the verses. I have a place for them. But I got to learn to trust God. Trust God when your world's falling apart. When Ukraine is going through Word of Life Ukraine. Now, I don't know if the soldiers are there at the camp property or not, but you got to learn to trust God. Whenever I see the word trust, as I'm reading online, I highlight it in blue, you know, so it draws my attention. This year, the verse is Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And the word salvation there is not just talking about our spiritual salvation, but the Lord is our strength, our deliverer. You know, and what? You need that this year. The Lord is our deliverer. So another question I want to ask you. What is your quiet time or devotional plan? I call it quiet time. We know that our quiet time, our devotional time, and our prayer time is important, but I found this statistic Thursday as I was studying for this. This is from the Bible Society and probably written in 2012. They says only 20% of Australian Christians read their Bible daily. You know, if Richard was here, he'd count the people and he would know how many of us read our Bible daily. The new campaign helps to form better habits. The Bible Society is saddened by the research, which shows that only 2 in 10 Aussie Christians read their Bible daily. Christians are saying they just don't have time. And while lives are getting busier, attention spans are getting shorter. Communication must happen within spans of an SMS, Facebook post, or a tweet of 140 characters. So how can Christians be brought back to a book of over 700,000 words? And the campaign that they were pushing is if you read the whole article, is a verse in 25 words. Now, if you look at the article, you can't get to their page anymore, but YouVersion has a reading plan that they picked up on this, a verse in 25 words. Even a verse. To read a verse a day, it'll change your lives. So, let me ask you, how is your personal quiet time and devotional time? For me, I'm undisciplined. I have to make sure that I have my devotions in the morning before I do anything else, because I'm not the type of person that usually goes back afterwards. So today I've read Hebrews, I've read my Psalms, I haven't written out anything yet. I quickly went over my prayer list. Very seldom. Saturday morning prayer breakfast, prayer time. It's a tough one for me because, you know, I like spending a long time in prayer and reading. My wife spends more time in prayer than reading, but we get together at 7:30 and I like to sleep in. So I've been disciplining myself at least to read my Psalms before I go. I very seldom leave my house without being in the Word of God. You know, and sometimes when I go to Word of Life, I got to leave at 5:30. I just discipline myself to get up early. Now, with me, some people can do their quiet time at night. You are more disciplined than me, all righty? But I'm not. So, I want to ask this question. What's your Bible reading plan? Because we're trying to answer the question, how do we balance rest, serving the Lord, and life? Well, reading the Word of God. I try to read the Bible, Old Testament once a year, New Testament twice a year, Psalms and Proverbs 4 times a year. Now, whatever your plan is, you don't have to do what I do, but what is your plan to be in the Word of God? Lastly, I got one more for Daryl on here. Hopefully he's still watching, Daryl. You come to the Lord in prayer. So, what is your prayer plan? I've taught 4 or 5 weeks in Connect Group on prayer, and there's a lot I could say here, so I'm just going to ask 4 questions. Lord willing, they'll be short. Do you have a personal prayer time, and is your prayer list growing? I write my things down. Not everybody writes their things down. Good pastor friends of mine goes every day with a blank notebook, and he writes his prayers and what he wants to pray for that day. But I have a long list. Now, here's confession. Do you pray with your wife? Is that one up there? No. Do you pray with your wife? We celebrated 40 years of marriage in January. And 2022. Got married in 1986, but we didn't start praying together regularly to 2020. That's a confession. So now 3 to 4 times a week, we have a list and we pray together. And it's been wonderful, at least for me. And it's been wonderful for my wife. But it's taken me 38 years of marriage to pray with my wife. Join into a corporate prayer group. Now, what I really wanted to do, I took a picture yesterday of everybody's feet and our empty chair. But I decided not to put pictures on my prayer point. Every Saturday during the school term, 5 of us get together. Usually 5 of us are there, and there's always 1 empty chair. So you are welcome to come join us, 7:30 to 8:30. Sometimes some people talk about farming afterwards, but most of us goes on, guys. But, you know, prayer is something that we need to constantly, that we constantly need to learn to do better. We need to constantly learn. And Jesus was asked by his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And when he was asked by his disciples to teach us to pray, what did he do? What did he do? What did he teach them? The Lord's Prayer. So he didn't get a manual. He didn't go out with a bunch of how-tos. He didn't say, like I just said, get a list, pray with other people, pray with your wife. He didn't do that. He taught them a model prayer. In other words, prayer is something you learn by doing. Yes, we have a model to pray for. You know, in the model prayer, it doesn't praise God at all. But it tells us to come before him. So prayer is something you learn to do. Begin with a list. Volunteer to pray at church. You can be the prayer person up here. Come to the Saturday morning prayer meeting. Don't worry, guys. Just come to pray. This last year, I've learned to improve my prayer list. I've learned to use the Word of God, and I'm writing prayers based on the Word of God, and I'm constantly learning. Now, this one's for Daryl. Join a My Support Team. You know, Daryl's been talking about that, and in theory, if there was here, there'd be a sign-up list, but Daryl's not here, and there probably won't be a sign-up list next week either, because Daryl won't be here, unless he gets Gwen to put it. But you know, that little support group, you know, four or five people, you figure out whether you're going to text one another, whether you're going to call one another, you know, whether you're just going to get together for a coffee, but share what you're learning from the Word of God. Share your prayer request. Pray together. Now, we have one, the Beach Street Bible Study, as Sandra started, and sometimes that goes on and on. There's a lot of things happening there, but we find out when there's a need, we get to pray for people right away. It pops up, and it's a great, great little tool. So, how do you balance rest, serving the Lord, and life? You come to Jesus. Meditate on his word. You come to the Word of God. Have a plan to know the Word of God. You come to the Lord in prayer. Join my support team. Close with this. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Guys, the world's a crazy place, and it's not going to get any easier. Allow the Lord to lead and to guide you day by day. Trust him, and you will see the great things that he will do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is the teacher of your word. May he take your word and guide and direct us, help us, comfort us. Lord, meet us in the needs that we have today. And Father, help us all to learn to fellowship with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Richard.
Thank you, Jim.
As I drop paper.
So, yes, we're going to sing again, so the musicians can come up.